I recently heard a news item talking about religion and politics. The way the conversation was going, it was as if one group of politicians felt like they had a lock hold on what it meant to be religious, while the other group was resenting that suggestion, and both sides were pointing to how many times their leaders had attended church services. Okay, attending a church service is important, but when it comes to having a relationship with God, can we get real? Hey there, and welcome to Sentinel Watch, where we look at life through a spiritual lens. I'm David Brown. Sometimes when people talk about religion, we often feel like it's from the same starting point, but of course it isn't. Some of us get up every morning immediately turning to God and having a conversation. Others may be somewhat less regular about thinking about God. Still others not quite sure why any of this matters. So let's try to get real today on Sentinel Watch. To help us with that, we're joined by Ian Goodger of Olympia, Washington. He's a Christian Science practitioner. That is, he's in the public practice of helping others find healing through Christian Science. He's had many healings himself. Ian, welcome to Sentinel Watch.
Hey there, David. So great to be here.
Nice to have you. Hey, you know, I've said a couple of times, let's get real, and I think now more than ever, no matter what we're talking about, people seem to be yearning for authenticity in their lives, you know, getting beyond the superficial. And I'm wondering if there's something that got you thinking about this issue for yourself, getting real with God.
Yeah, well, I think, first of all, there were definitely times, and there still are times, when I have an unquestionable conviction that God's there, that God's helping me out, that I, you know, feel just a genuine sense of I'm not alone. And then there's other times where it doesn't always feel that way. There's, you know, just something that doesn't quite click, if that makes sense.
Of course it makes sense. In fact, I think sometimes with our lives being as busy as they can seem to be, the very idea of a relationship with God isn't exactly high on our must-do list. But I'm interested in something that you're suggesting by that getting real idea, and that is really a subtext, and that is, how real is God to you? Mm-hmm. And some people may be wondering, well, why is that important? And, you know, maybe this gets back to the whole idea of authenticity. I may not have felt the presence of God in my life. God may seem quite like a distant construct, especially if you can't see, smell, or hear God's presence in the physical world around us. What would you say to that?
I would say, I get it. You know, it's not like I turned on a light switch one day and boom, it's all full of light. I think you take a step and then it opens up more. You take another step and it opens up even more. And it keeps going like that. And you might even think of it like a snowball. You know, you kind of push the snow together first and then you start rolling it down the hill and it gets bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. And pretty soon it's this enormous thing that, you know, is unquestionable. But it doesn't always start that way. And one of the things that I really cherish from the Bible is I think whoever was putting the Bible together must have realized this. And so they put in things in the Bible that kind of say, hey, it's okay that you don't feel this whole huge amount of conviction that God exists and that God is really real to you right off. And one of those passages is right there in Luke. It says, "Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom." And I like to think about that as God wants us to know him just as much as we want to know God. And I feel like that notion there where it says, it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom, really feels like it's God's good pleasure that we have a deep understanding of God, one that is usable, one that's practical, one that really does pay the bills, if you will, one that really does guide us into what direction to go, one that helps us with any challenge we might be facing.
Yeah, and I think that's it. Mary Baker Eddy, the discoverer and founder of Christian Science, recognized that people may occasionally find themselves in situations of extremity or feel like they're particularly sick or they're facing a challenge for which there doesn't seem to be any answer.
Mm-hmm.
And then in that last sort of moment, grasp on to that hope that encouraged them to reach out to something beyond what the material senses were saying.
Mm-hmm.
Does that ring true to you?
Yeah, I think so. I guess a story comes to mind right now that might be helpful to the listeners. Early on when I was practicing Christian Science, I can't say that I was feeling like everything was hunky-dory and I felt this deep conviction of a God all the time. And I think that was kind of where I was at this one point. I was a snowboard instructor, and my wife and I were both snowboard instructors, and we, you know, got done with our lessons and stuff and headed down the mountain in our four-wheel drive. And it was a particularly snowy, you know, wintry, really kind of chaotic night. Lots of ice on the roads and things like that. And so everybody was taking it slow and being careful. And at one point, our car started spinning in a circle uncontrollably.
Wow, just completely lost traction.
Yeah, lost traction, and we were moving the way we shouldn't have been moving. And the only thing that we could think of at that moment is God was in control. It was just something we said out loud. And I had tons of experience, you know, driving in the snow, and it was very interesting. The thing that came to thought, it was like just a flash of thought, but I felt the impulse to slam on the brakes, which is completely contrary to what you would do normally when you're driving in snow. I have had lots of experience in driving in snow, and that was never something you should do. But I felt this impulse to hit the brakes, and I did. And we continued to spin around, and I remember closing my eyes because I just didn't even know what to do. And all through this, we could feel the truck just spinning. And at one point, it comes to a complete stop, and we open our eyes, and we're looking at the road, and we're on the shoulder of the road, looking the direction that we needed to be going. And we just see this stream of endless cars right next to us. And that was maybe one of my most early experiences of, wow, there really must be something that's guiding me, something that's giving me some sort of intelligence and guidance that's way beyond me, because I honestly didn't know what to do or how to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And this is one of the experiences I remember, you know, having that just kind of set the stage of, here's the first part of your snowball. Here's the first part of, you know, this really does matter. And there is really a reason to be thinking about this and to be learning more about it. And that's where it started for me.
Wow. What a wonderful experience to have. Well, I say wonderful experience. That must have been pretty scary there in the moment, but
it was.
But
yeah.
Then to have had that realization, that dawning,
mm-hmm.
What did that lead to? Do you remember?
Well, I don't remember like the next day, except being just extremely grateful that God was looking out for us and taking care of us. But what it did is it caused me to have a deep interest in learning more.
Yeah.
And really saying, okay, this thing that I grew up with, Christian Science, you know, I've went to Sunday school, you know, but still there was this thing of, is this really true? Is it really the fact? And that experience kind of shifted it for me. This is true. So learn more about it. So, you know, spend some time thinking more about it. We talked a little earlier about, well, how do you even know that it's worthwhile? How do you even know that it's, you know, meaningful enough to take the time? Mm-hmm. Well, that was one experience that I had that shifted that conversation. It was no longer, why is this important? This conversation for me was, this is important, and this is why. Look what happened here. This can happen in other ways too. And it did. But that was, you know, the first starting point.
Yeah, and it's interesting how this becomes more and more precious the more and more you cherish it. it's, I guess that goes without saying, but do you mind if I share a little experience we had here at our
place? Yeah, I'd love it.
Well, the other night, one of our kids was having to fill out an application. This is a small thing. Fill out an application for an internship for the summer. And we were now coming up on midnight. Suddenly, when the prompt came to go to page 2 of this online application, a message popped up and it said, sorry, but that page is unavailable. And of course, I get frustrated because our kid's getting frustrated and is upset because, you know, she's been looking forward to this and now it looks like there's this wall. And as we're talking about it and she's getting more tearful and my frustration is rising a bit, I remember thinking, okay, this is an opportunity to turn to good because it doesn't seem like there's any good here. And I found in my own sort of step-by-step journey that where there doesn't seem to be a good, you look for that good and you grab it.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, you know, when things are looking like it's there's just no way out, this is an opportunity to know that God's here.
Mm-hmm.
And that no matter what, nothing can stop your progress because you are a child of God. You're a reflection of that good. Nothing can stop that good. And I said, let's do this. Let's hold to that good for the rest of the night. It's midnight. Let's go on to sleep. But don't fear a thing. Good is in control right now. And so she felt satisfied and comfortable with that. So a few days pass. And she gets a message, and the message is from the city through which she was making this application, and it said that they had received this first half, and they wanted to talk with her because they wanted to consider her for this internship program.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, now she's all set up for it and ready to rock and roll. She said, well, maybe we didn't even need to do that second page. And I said, well, you know, maybe not. But here's something that you can hang on to, and you should, that good is there. God is right there for you. And that's the proof right there. That's all you need. Build on that, no matter what you face. And I can't wait to see what her next footstep is going to be.
Right. Yeah, you know, and I was just thinking about this as you were talking, that it almost was as simple as just turning.
Yeah.
You know, you have this like hard thing going on, this chaotic thing going on even, or this just annoying thing going on. And
chaotic works.
Yeah, chaotic for sure. You know, and
midnight, crying.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
And you know, and just that simple turning to this good that you mentioned is the way that these solutions sort of unfold. And it reminds me of one of my favorite passages in all of the Bible. And this might be, you know, fairly common to some of our listeners, but it's one that never gets old. And it's in the 91st Psalm. And it says, because he has set his love upon me. And I take that as because he has turned toward me. Therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high because he hath known my name. He shall call upon me and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. Just love that sense of hope, that sense of assurance, that sense of, you know, the outcome of turning to good is good. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think that's so powerful. And I love that you shifted this conversation from this, you know, chaotic car ride to something simple as filling out an application. Not every experience needs to be one of those where you're on the road spinning around in circles. And I have also really appreciated those moments in time where maybe I'm stuck. You know, I don't know exactly which way to go. And something as simple as I'm turning to God, as I'm turning to this law of good, as I'm turning to this sense that there is a solution, you know, maybe it's just a word that pops into my mind.
Hmm.
You know, maybe it's a word from a, you know, a Bible verse or some hymn or some song that has been in my thought before. And I go and I'm like, where is that word from? And I look at it and I find it. And it's like this perfect thing that helps move me forward in some way.
You know, it really does help, though, if you can cultivate this sense of God's presence, don't you think?
I do. 100%.
How do you go about cultivating this sense of God's presence?
I think the first step is that turning, you know, just being willing to turn. And then the second thing for me is, okay, after you turn, what do you do? There's this really cool passage that I found. It comes from a recent Bible lesson. Mary Baker Eddy says, we cannot fathom the nature and quality of God's creation by diving into the shallows of mortal belief. And what I think about with that is that, you know, when we have these blinders on or we're frustrated with the situation or, you know, things are not great, we're in the shallows of mortal belief. And in that place, we have no sense of God. And the rest of the paragraph has this beautiful way of illustrating this idea of raising thought up. It says, we must reverse our feeble flutterings. Do you kind of hear the sense of a bird flying?
Yeah.
Maybe it's not real quick at first, but it starts to try to fly. And as it starts to fly, it gets higher and higher and higher. And then pretty soon the view is completely different.
Yeah.
And that flying up, that, you know, really gaining a clearer and clearer sense, raising your thought above what seems to be going on and into this place where there's light, this place where there's joy, this place where there's hope, seems to me to be the ticket, the key. And it's not always so easy to do that, but I found that when we do it, it happens. I have another experience that maybe might illustrate this point just a little bit.
For sure.
I was really struggling physically, internally. Something didn't seem quite right. And I wasn't sure exactly what was going on, but I just was having a tough time even just moving around in, you know, in my home and couldn't sit up for a long time. And what I was trying to do was really, in my highest sense, get from this cloud of yuck over to something that was much more beautiful, that was shining, that was hopeful, that was just fun to look at, if you will. And I was doing it through all the grinding of the gears of the prayer machine, somebody might say, and I wasn't getting anywhere. And I finally put down the books and I put down everything and I said, okay, God, show me what you need me to know. And I had this inclination to go for a walk. And at the time we were living in this place that just down the road and over the road, you could kind of see the Puget Sound area. And I started on my walk, which was slow at the time, but I got to this part that looked over and I could see this enormous part of Puget Sound. And I heard this voice that said, see, I'm way bigger than all of this.
Wow.
Then I looked at the trees and saw how they were moving in the wind and again got this sense of, your problem is so small and I'm in control of all of this. You know, in Christian Science, I have been learning that, you know, God is actually infinite, without boundaries. And so not only is this problem smaller than God, it's absolutely nothing. God is infinite and fills all space. And therefore, I just got this sense that there really wasn't a problem that I needed to work out of. And by the time I got home, I was completely well again. The reason I'm bringing this up is sometimes I think we can think very humanly about how do I get in tune with God? And we want it to be a process that we can follow. And in my experience, it's not a process we can follow. It has so much more to do with our heart and our desire and our yearning. And sometimes when we make it about something else, like we're trying to intellectualize it or we're trying to make something occur, it doesn't happen. But when we get ourselves out of the way, when we find that sense of humility that can just go for the walk and be open to what God has in store for us, sometimes it's just a simple view like that that just breaks the dream, if you will, of what seems so bad and so uncomfortable to us at the moment.
Man, that's wonderful. I can just see the swaying of the trees in your description there and feeling that majesty of God's control. Mm-hmm. It's not so much the swaying of the trees, literally. Obviously, you were inspired by that sense that something much bigger was at work here, and it was bigger than the senses can fully comprehend, you know? Mm-hmm. There's something that I think about when I think about cultivating that relationship with God. You mentioned a Bible lesson. Mm-hmm. In Christian Science, there's this weekly Bible lesson, and it's read as a sermon from the pulpit in Christian Science churches. It's not a personal sermon. It comes from the Bible in the textbook that Mary Baker Eddy wrote for Christian Science, Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures, which is based on the Bible. And these are selections that correlate one with the other, and they're read in Christian Science churches around the world on Sunday. But as students of Christian Science, we study this Bible lesson on a daily basis. And I think for a long time, I let that slip. But I found that in cultivating this relationship with God, not only did my going to church become more important to me, just as a way to pause and to try to tune in to what was important, but also in the morning. And I found that when I picked up the books or I picked up a copy of the Bible lesson, I found that that was a wonderful way to kind of get in tune with this notion that you were talking about of this not being my day, but more God's day, if you know what I mean. Mm-hmm. And my place in it being a reflection of that good. And from that perspective, you're starting your day in a way that's cultivating that a more spiritual mindset that than might not otherwise be. Mm-hmm. And there are little steps, but they're important steps, at least I've found them to be more important as I've been learning about how to be better at understanding my relationship with God. You know what I mean?
I do. And, you know, it might be fun to dive into this a little bit more. You know, there may be others who are thinking about reading the Bible lesson and might hear what we have to say and go, oh, so I just need to read the Bible lesson. That's it. You know, hey, I'll just pick up the books and start reading. And
those are the gears there that you were talking about.
Yeah, a little bit. You know, I think it's helpful to think about what do we mean when we say read the Bible lesson?
Yeah,
you know,
say more about that.
Yeah, I think when I was a kid, I heard throughout the whole, my church and everything, hey, you need to read your whole Bible lesson every day and make sure you get through that Bible lesson. And so my studious self did that. And to be quite honest, I didn't see much change.
Yeah. It became a chore.
It became a chore. It was something that felt like I had to do this. And I questioned, well, why? What's the purpose?
Yeah.
And then I ran into this little statement in Science and Health. Mary Baker Eddy's talking about science and health, but I think it could be used for anything that we are led to study, whether it's a hymn, whether it's a Bible verse, whether it's a science and health, whether it's a section in the Bible lesson, whatever it is. She says, take divine science. And those three words right there, it caused me to pause one time and made me wonder, am I actually taking it?
Hmm.
Am I holding it? Am I thinking about it? Am I, you know, inviting it in? You know, those Sunday school teachers and the church members encouraged me just to read the Bible lesson. They must have saw that too, that it's not just this task they do, but it's something that really is cultivating their sense of how real God is. And then she goes on from there and says, read this book from beginning to end. Study it. Ponder it. And I thought, okay, so she's not just saying the reading of this book is what's important. She's right. saying an interaction with this book is important. Thinking about what we're reading, you know, diving into it, you know, discovering a little bit more about what it means, even using it in our prayer.
Right.
And I just think no matter how much of the Bible lesson we use or engage with each day, if we're doing that, if we're taking divine science, if we're reading this book from beginning to end and studying it and pondering it, you know, I think that's when that cultivation really helps too. You know, it might be not so dissimilar to a garden we might have.
Mm-hmm.
That process of fertilizing the garden, you know, and kind of that right amount that then cultivates the soil and causes things to grow and bloom and be beautiful.
We've used a lot of metaphors here. One of my favorites is the radio and getting tuned in sometimes, because I find that the closer I get to feeling that authentic, that very real sense of God's presence, the more I feel like I get inspiration and direction and sometimes even a sense of protection. Have you ever felt that way?
100%. Yeah, absolutely. I love that idea of tuned in. My wife and family and I bought this, you know, weather radio because we were traveling around quite a bit. And it was fun to use this together with the family at times because the signal's always there.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're shaking the radio around and or moving the antenna or, yeah. you know, or it slips or gets out of tune, then you can't hear that signal as well. But when you adjust it enough, then it just comes in super clear. And I think that's true in my own practice too. You know, there's been definitely times when that tuning needed to happen. And as it did, it came clearer. In fact, I have a quick example of this fairly recently. My family and I were traveling for several months and we had this camper van that we were traveling in, and it had this generator on the bottom of it so that if your solar panels or whatever went out, you could turn on the generator and it would charge the batteries. And mm-hmm. we were out camping with no electricity and there was no sun at the moment. So it was pretty critical to have the generator working. And we were going off the trail or off the road and hit a rock, and that rock somehow sliced the wires from the connection to the generator and just completely chopped it in half. And I'm not an electrician, and it was way underneath the van, and we had no way to prop up the van to get in there and to work on it. So it seemed like there were these two major problems in our way. One, not being able to get to the problem, and number two, not having the experience of what to do to solve the problem. And, you know, I found myself like you with this computer program with your daughter, just a little bit frustrated, like, how could this happen at this moment? We need this so bad, you know, this is going to cause us not to be able to be in contact, and we need to be in contact and things like that. And so I went for a walk again, and this is the tuning the radio part. And I just started to just reach for this concept that God knows. And that may be sort of far-fetched for some people, but it stemmed from this line in Science and Health where it describes God. It says that God is all-knowing, all-seeing, all-acting. It's a little definition for God in the back of Science and Health, and I've turned to that many times when I maybe wasn't feeling what God could be or was in the moment. And so I was reaching out for this idea that God knows. And at first it was a little far-fetched. How's God going to help me with this very immediate need? I can't even get underneath the van to do anything. How am I going to do this? But I continued on that track of reaching out that God knows and really working to see that God mind was supreme, was infinite, was omnipresent and the only power. And I just kept building that in my thought, kind of like that snowball again, if we could go back to that. It was rolling down this hill, getting bigger and bigger and bigger. And I continued praying about this. And I don't know what point it came, but the exact way to reconnect to the wires came to thought. Like, I didn't even know how they were supposed to connect, but I just got this sort of view of how it needed to happen. And then the second part was, you need to get under the van in this particular way. So in the morning, I did those two things. And I had my daughter help me, and she had an awesome time doing this with me. But it was so cool because it was fixed within 10 minutes. And, you know, we had it all taped up. It was pulled back up out of the way so we wouldn't hit another rock. And I tested the generator and it worked perfectly. And I, like I said, I had no experience in terms of electrical wires or things like that, but it was super cool to see how this idea came to me on how to connect these wires together. And it worked perfectly. I know without a doubt that that could have never happened had I not been reaching out for this idea that mind knows it already. And therefore, as one of God's ideas, God's children, I could know it too. And it just was so cool because this is clearly one of those experiences for me that I saw that God was very real. That God was right there helping me, supporting me, and showing me the way to solve this problem. It was a really cool experience.
What a wonderful experience. You've shared some wonderful experiences with us, and I can't help but think that there are going to be people wanting to cultivate that closer relationship with God as a result of this conversation. Ian Goodger is from Olympia, Washington. He's a Christian Science practitioner. Ian, thanks so much for taking time to talk with us on Sentinel Watch. It's been a real joy.
Yeah, thank you. It's been a joy for me too.
Sentinel Watch is a production of the Christian Science Sentinel. I'm David Brown. Our podcast is produced by Carlos Machado, Sophie Ungerleiter, and our executive producer, Amy Richman. Our production assistant is Natasha Telcho. Our editor is Lisa Rennie Seitzma. Our audio engineers are Tim Malone, Noel Flatt, Alyssa Britton, and Ian Case. Our theme music is by Jonah Bobo. We'll talk again soon.
This podcast is produced and copyrighted by the Christian Science Publishing Society.